What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Thursday edition of In No Particular Order, which is actually redundant because it's only on Thursday, but I'm glad to have you here. We are mock drafting, and by we, I mean these four gentlemen, are mock drafting WWE wrestlers and or WWE wrestling matches according to the best. And I'm just going to, like, a spoiler alert, if I were in this mock, which I'm not because there's already four of them, I would be mocking, if you want to see my paper, it's like by looks, the hottest to the not hottest.
I was going to do that.
That's not how we're doing it?
That's not it. Yeah, I think that's the only way to do it. And I learned something, and I guess I knew it. Like, I guess you knew it implicitly. Like, all these people are actors. I did not know that. Like, I mean, I knew The Rock, you know, John Cena, but you don't think of all of them as having, like, you know, what is it called? The card they have to get to be an actor. All of them are actors.
Or SAG. They need their SAG
card. Their SAG card. So I'm here for it. I'm here to see what these gentlemen pick. Since I'm the moderator, I can throw in a hot guy every now and then if I want to. But, you know, before we start, we're going to do this. Watch what happens. What? Underdog Fantasy. Thank you, Josh. Underdog Fantasy. Play it now. Hit the QR code. We match. We don't match. Underdog matches $100 to your GF2 if you put that in, the promo code. And you can play any sport that you want that has three letters in it. Underdog has you covered. If you're in, however, California and Colorado, you cannot play Pick'ems yet. Not sure why. I'm in both those places. I'm not in both those places. I'm in one of those places, and I can't play. I wish I was in both those places. I met some guy from Hawaii today. It was awesome. He gave me dried honey lemon, and it was the best thing I've ever had in my mouth today. Ooh. It was delicious. Delicious. So, yay. Jesse Patterson in the house. Hi, Jess. Yay, hot guys, for sure. That's what I'm saying. I think she's talking about you guys, though. I don't think she's talking about the wrestlers. She's talking about yay, hot guys on the screen. What? Okay.
Hello.
Well, hello there.
How you doing?
The only one that didn't say anything is Josh. So.
Well, I just assumed that Jesse was talking about the oiled up muscular men we're talking about, not us.
No, I just assumed she was talking, 100%, she's talking about you guys. What? I told you. So the first thing we're going to do today, we're not even going to introduce. We're going to tell through your introduction, your walk-up song. Josh, what is your walk-up song? And briefly introduce yourself, sir.
Okay, so I got two options for walk-up song. One's kind of obscure, so I'll just get that one out of the way. It's called Swallowing the Rabbit Hole by Code Orange. Mm-hmm. Code Orange does a walk-up song for Bray Wyatt. Okay. Did his old one.
Okay.
And I think they also did some for other people. But it's got a good build. It's heavy. I like heavy music. The other one would be Rage Against the Machine. Killing in the Name Of. Once again, just a good build up. It pops. And, you know, I like to throw in leftist politics when I can. So that's just a plus. So those will probably be mine.
Those are excellent walk-up songs for a man wearing dangling Atlanta Braves earrings. Yes. Excellent walk-up songs for you. All right. And a little bit about yourself.
Just got into my 30s. I've been watching wrestling since I was a little kid. Big Atlanta Braves fans. I do writing, ranking, and articles at goingfor2.com. Host a show on Saturday night about Dynasty Football. And that's about it.
Dynasty Football is my nemesis. All right. Shannon, your walk-up song and a little bit about you.
I've given this a lot of thought, not just today, but for the last probably 20 years of my life. It is Stan Bush, The Touch, would be my walkout song.
Do I know that?
It's from the movie Transformers, the original cartoon version. Spoiler alert, Optimus Prime dies. The first time I ever cried in a movie.
Isn't it like in the first 10 minutes?
Yeah. That is my walkout song. I've given that plenty of thought, so don't think I just thought of it today.
Okay, and a little bit about yourself?
So I've watched wrestling most of my life. I have been to wrestling events. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, where Jerry the King Lawler is from. I've met him a couple of times. In fact, his girlfriend or wife, who is, I don't know, 30 years younger than he is, went to school with my wife in high school and dated a friend of mine as well. I love wrestling. It's ridiculous. Whoa. I know it. And I make people watch the Royal Rumble with me once a year. I make people watch wrestling with me. That's the one time I make them watch wrestling. It's just that one time.
Jamie, walk-up song. Hey!
My walk-up song is... been one of my favorite songs for the past year or so. I actually use it as my alarm to wake up in the morning. I use it as my ringtone, and we all know it. It is the Going for Two Armchair Fantasy Football Show.
This is loyalty right here.
Literally, when I first heard this song, I didn't even know Jeff. And I got in his DMs. I'm like, hey, can you send me that song? Like, I want to use it as my ringtone. And right away, he sent it to me. And since then, he's been my favorite guy in the world.
That's awesome.
Yep. Right.
I don't know if we want you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's just do the wrestling aspect. I started watching wrestling back in the 80s with my grandpa. Watched it ever since. Actually, went to school around... with the Miz. I know you guys probably know the Miz. You know, hung out with him a few times back before he was famous. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Kevin G, walk-up song.
My walk-up song, there's going to be a theme to what I do tonight. Okay. So my walk-up song is going to be Drake, Started From the Bottom. Because that's literally my life. That's where it happens.
Yeah, man, we come out of the bottom parts of women. Wow. You're not alone. You're not alone.
I'm just waiting for that part where I get out of the bottom, if you know where I'm going.
Wow. With that. Okay. Anyway.
Started from the bottom. I'm still here.
My wrestling knowledge. I've seen the Andre the Giant documentary. So okay. I got that. I watched wrestling when I was like 7 or 8 in the 70s. So I think I got this. I think I'm going to be good on this.
I think you are going to just sell right in there, Kev.
There's going to be nobody on my list probably from the 2000s.
All right. I'm actually oddly excited for this now. My walk-up song is Criminal by Fiona Apple. Just... It's a great song, and Fiona Apple's a great, great rendition. I love her. I love it. I love it for no particular reason. I love it. And then, wrestling, as I stated earlier, it's all about the hot guys and who's oiled up the most and who looks the best. Dude, it's like when I was looking, there are some hot chicks too, but for the most part, I don't even know. I guess you have to send in a headshot to be a wrestler, maybe. And they go, can we see the rest of it? And they're like, okay, you're in. Because it's awesome. Awesome. Which is pretty much why I'm not going to be in this draft. All right. So the order that we're drafting. Oh, by the way, if you're watching on Twitter and you want to join in, you're going to be out of luck. Because we do not get tweets or... in any kind of message from the Twitterverse. So you need to hop on over to YouTube and or Twitch and or Facebook and join in the conversation. If you are on YouTube, you need to punch. I said that twice. I couldn't think of a wrestling term. What's the wrestling term for
suplex.
Punch? Suplex? Okay.
Isn't that a wrestling term?
Sure, sounds like one.
That is.
You need to suplex the subscribe button and the like button, more like button than subscribe. I don't care about subscribe, but hit subscribe, the like button. Mine would be Nightmare by Seven Times, and I grew up in the same town as McCabe. Oh, wait, Nightmare by Seven Times. It's Seven Times, I'm assuming, is a band. And
it's Avenged Sevenfold.
Oh, Avenged like Sevenfold? Why didn't you? I know yeah, Avenged Sevenfold.
Like, it's like their symbol or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I'm not that cool. Don't know the symbol. Just know the band name. But yeah, I do love Nick Gage, and I do love Avenged Sevenfold, but not the symbol. Symbol, don't know. And I don't know particularly the song Nightmare, Facebook user, but I love it. Thanks. All right. We are going, and by we, again, these four gentlemen, we'll be drafting WWE wrestlers and or WWE wrestling matches. Drafting order in the 7-round snake draft is Josh, 101, Kevin, 102, Jamie, 103, Shannon, 104. I might throw in like a hot guy if they don't say him for the first round, but I'm just going to throw it in there. It's not a drafting order. So, Josh, who's your 101 wrestler?
All right. This was pretty easy for me. So part of my favorite part of wrestling growing up was just how over the top it was, how dramatic it was, and just absurd it is. And one of those people that made it that way was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh. I'm going to take him my 101. He was always my favorite to watch. He's the one my mom didn't want me to watch as much, but that made me want to watch it even more. He beat up Mr. McMahon in the hospital. He fought Booker T in the grocery store. I mean, this guy wasn't afraid to throw down anywhere. He brought a milk truck to the ring, sprayed everyone down, rode a four-wheeler. Like, the guy's just out there just doing the most absurd stuff and getting away with it and being cool and drinking beer while doing it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Don't forget about the Mike Tyson.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
he went after Mike Tyson.
He's the 101 of wrestlers, in my opinion. Even though he's not technically my favorite of all time, I think he's got to go first.
Wait, what do you mean he went after Mike Tyson?
Like, they had a like in-ring battle. Oh. Yeah. And I still don't know if that was set up or if it was real, but it looked real.
I can tell you when the time comes.
If the time is not now?
I mean, I can tell. So, it was all kind of a work. Tyson was a Stone Cold fan, but Stone Cold didn't give a shit about anybody. So he kind of went over everybody to include Tyson. So Tyson then joined the side of D-Generation X, which was Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Rick Rude, China. And WrestleMania 14, it all comes to a head. Stone Cold Steve Austin's going against Shawn Michaels for the WWF title, which would be his first win and getting the title, Steve Austin's. And Mike Tyson is the special guest referee. All this to say, Stone Cold wins, and Mike Tyson, you know, raises Stone Cold's hand.
Oh, okay.
He ended up punching Shawn Michaels post-match because Shawn was like, you're supposed to be on our side, and he's kind of going at him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Tyson just decks Sean.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever want to get punched by Mike Tyson for fun or
ever.
Not even for.
It was a face turn for Mike Tyson.
I would do it for money.
Really? I wouldn't.
No.
Die.
Yes. No. So, speaking of Mike Tyson, this is like so not even anything we're talking about. Like yesterday, I told the guys before we went on, my dog bit another dog in the ear, and my sister says, because I have a cane corso, she goes, he's big and he's black and he bit in someone in the ear. His name is now Tyson. So Jackie is now called Tyson because that's who he is. Kevin!
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
That means the other dog is Holyfield now, right?
No, the other dog's like, pussy. Go ahead. So,
with the second pick of the first round, my theme today is who is like the best entertainer.
Okay.
Who is fun, and that's my thing. So I am gonna go with my first pick, and I got a little spreadsheet up here, so I gotta look at it. I got Ric Flair.
Ooh.
The Nature Boy.
The Nature Boy. Is he still alive?
He does that, right? I love that guy. Ooh. So I don't have as many backstories as y'all do, but I think that I think his daughter is a wrestler or something.
Charlotte like Flair. Yeah.
So there's like lineage there. So he's creating legacy even. So okay. I love Ric Flair, second pick of the
draft. I like it. I think it's
some would say the greatest wrestler of all time.
Look at you, Kev. Slide in there. Yeah.
Yep. Love it. Thank you for the validation.
He won the most heavyweight championships until John Cena came around.
Yeah, what was he?
I think
six,
it was like 17 times.
16 or 17.
16, 17. Yeah.
He's a good interview, too. I like it when they can get interviewed well. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Kevin coming on strong for his first pick. And now, Jamie.
Okay, I'm at the 103. So, Gladys, what do you think my first pick is going to be?
I think it's going to be.
It doesn't matter what you think. It is The Rock, one of the most electrifying sports entertainers of all time. I mean, you got the rock bottom, the people's elbow, like just his charisma, man. And like one of my favorite one of his matches was against Stone Cold at WrestleMania 17. That was one where Vince McMahon interfered, and then that's when Stone Cold became a heel.
The Rock
is my 101. He's my 101, but every time that like I'm doing a draft at work, my buddy's a amateur wrestler. Uh-huh. He's like, dude, just draft The Rock. You'll win every time.
sound advice for losing.
Hey, The Rock also came up. Or I don't know if he came up with it, but I heard him start calling people jabronis.
Actually, that's
stuck with me ever since.
The Iron Sheik, the one that just passed away, he came up with. He stole it from him, but The Rock gives Iron Sheik credit for it. But that word's actually in the dictionary now.
Jabroni?
Because of The Rock, yeah.
What's the definition of it?
I don't know. Gotta look it up.
Just a slapdick.
It's a foolish or contemptible person.
Wrestling terms, in a sense, it's kind of used as like a jobber. So just somebody who's just like, they're in there, they're thrown against somebody with a name just to kind of get beat up.
Oh, like the first black guy that dies in every movie. Every horror movie.
I wouldn't call them a jobber, but yeah, sure, you can.
A jabroni, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's what we were going.
Yeah, same. They're interchangeable. Okay. Basically.
Yeah, I'm going with that. I think I like it. All right, Shannon. First round.
I'm gonna go on for a second here because Steve Austin and The Rock are my two favorite wrestlers of all time. Mm. I'm on theme here with the Stone Cold T-shirt.
Yeah, you are.
And then I recently got a Austin 316 tattoo. I don't know. Yeah, we can see it. Austin 316 tattoo right there. So I love him. I hate that I didn't get to pick him, but I knew that was going to happen if I didn't get to pick first. Even the night of my wedding after the faux walkout. So we were doing the walkout, you know, the kiss and there's cameras and sparklers and all that. Post that, someone takes my jacket, hands me two beers. I crack them open. I smash them and I throw them back. That is my love for Stone Cold Steve Austin. So great job picking him. So I guess I'm going to go with a theme here. My theme is heels because I love the bad guys. They're always the best. So I'm going to pick a little bit off kilter here, I guess. I'm going to go with Razor Ramon.
Nice.
Razor?
Scott Hall. He could sell like no other. A sell is basically when someone hits you with a move.
Uh-huh.
What it looks like, so like the impact or, you know, your facial reaction to what's happening to you. He was a great seller. He was a great worker. He never really got the top spot, but he would always like basically get pinned versus like he and Kevin Nash were together and he would get pinned instead of letting like Kevin get pinned to make Kevin look stronger. Yep. So that's my first pick.
And didn't he turn over the 1-2-3 kid?
Yes. They had an awesome
Because they were good friends, and I'm pretty sure he had one of the first ladder matches too for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, he and
it was like a
he
double.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so are we picking just wrestlers or wrestling matches or both? It's interchangeable.
Interchangeable, baby.
Okay, cool. Because I don't think someone's going to pick my next pick. I hope so. I'm going to pick TLC 2, the Hardy Boys versus the Dudleys versus Christian Edge as a match.
Oh yeah.
This is just absolutely bonkers. It's one of those things, even if you don't watch wrestling, if you can watch highlights of this, it will elicit some kind of emotion inside of you.
Who is it now?
The Hardy Boys versus the Dudleys versus Christian Edge. And it's a tables, ladders, and chairs match.
Oh, my God.
So just imagine there are 10-foot ladders, 16-foot ladders, 20-foot ladders. There are tables everywhere. There are chairs. Christian and Edge had this move called the Concerto, where they would both grab a chair and hit the person on opposite sides of the head.
Oh,
incredible. Incredible stuff to watch there. People are jumping off of ladders into other people that are hanging from the air. People are going through multiple tables. It's absolutely nuts. It's a primo match.
I mean, they all three were, all three tag teams were basically halftime ECW guys. So, you know, they're going to go all the way out and just try and punish each other as much as they can. Cause that's what we want to see, you know?
Okay. Jamie.
I'm up again. I'm going to go with one of my favorites as a kid, Bret the Hitman Hart.
Oh, good Canadian boy.
I love all the Harts, but Bret was one of my favorites, and he was such a cool dude. He would always give his glasses to one of the kids in the audience, and best matches ever. I mean, he made the Sharpshooter famous and had a bunch of good matches. I can't even name them all, but one of my favorites growing up.
Bret Hitman Hart.
Yep.
Was he a good guy or a bad guy?
Both.
Okay.
Aren't they all like both at some point in their career?
For the most part.
The real big ones are.
Yeah. Wait, Rock was a bad guy?
The real big ones
are
going to have fans whether they're hated or not.
Rock had a bad streak, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. No, Rock started off as a heel, I think. Mm-hmm. Rocky Maivia with the Nation of Domination.
Mm-hmm. And then he also was the corporate Rock for a little while. He joined the corporation, which was, was one of Vince McMahon's stables. As it's referred to.
Kevin.
Yeah.
So in keeping with my theme and with the, I guess with the research I've done, I'm going to take the guy who had the, he had a huge feud with my first pick, Ric Flair. And that's going to be Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, woo. Nice.
He gave a, I watched it earlier today. He gave a very heartfelt speech that goes down in wrestling lore as being one of the, he came back from a bad injury and stuff like that. And then all the time on my Instagram feed, I see him being interviewed and he's got this cute little voice about him and I just love it.
He's got a lisp.
He does.
Yeah. Aww. It's just a, just a plumber boy.
It is. That's what, yeah.
Plumber son.
And his two sons are actually wrestlers. It was Goldust and, Cody Rhodes. Yeah. And I think Cody still wrestles.
He was like, he was also like the, just a regular guy wrestling. Cause he wasn't, he didn't have that sexy body you're looking for, Gladys. Let me tell you.
Which is why I was looking at my list and he's not there.
He always had that yellow polka dotted, whatever you call them, singlet.
Like a unitard kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep.
I love it. So that's my second pick in keeping it in the performance category.
Performance category. Josh. I'm sorry. It's just, I never thought of it as the performance category, but it does make sense.
No, you're good. My next one is going to be someone who I think the WWE kind of screwed over the most, not being Bret Hart. I'm going to go with The Undertaker. Easily one of the best performers of all time. Yeah. He was easily the best one at WrestleMania 2. He had a streak. I think got up to like
21.
His matches at WrestleMania were like 19-0 or 20-0. And then the WWE decided to have him lose to a part-timer, Brock Lesnar, instead of Shawn Michaels, CM Punk, all these other guys who are there full-time. So I'm upset about that. But Undertaker went through a lot of phases. He can adapt. He was started out as like this dark presence with, as Kane's brother. American badass with the motorcycle, and then he came back as the Dead Man, which is probably his most popular. So the fact he can do it throughout that span and just stay awesome, he's probably my second pick.
Why did they have him go against not a headliner?
Well, he was a headliner, but he was doing UFC. He was doing other things that could never really commit full-time to being a WWE star. Okay. So they made him snap his long streak to someone who...
I think it was 23 wins.
Yeah. He had 23 wins at WrestleMania.
To speak to that a little bit, like the streak thing wasn't really planned out. It just kind of happened that way. And obviously it gained some lore over time. And you're not wrong. Like it's unfortunate the streak was broken. However, Brock Lesnar went on for another decade to be the big boss, the big bad for everybody. And for him to beat Taker, it kind of set that up because it was kind of like, oh, Taker's never been beat. And this one guy that does beat him ends up like being incredible himself for so much long, for a while longer too. So it did suck. I'm not saying it didn't, And it, yeah, but it wasn't for the worst reason ever.
Yeah, I think I still think Brock Lesnar could have been that just because how big he is, how for he sure. just throws people around and doesn't give a shit like who he messes with. He'll like, if you talk to him wrong, he'll smack you in the face and F5 you through a table.
All right, but, so
yeah, that's fair. So I got another pick, huh?
Yeah, but before you pick, we insert one hot guy, and that would be Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy,
really?
Yeah. What? Why is that even a question? I looked at like 10 different pictures of him, and all of them were hot. Like there wasn't a non-hot picture.
I like how I judge you, and I don't know who he is. I'm like, huh.
Yeah, there was a match where actually he came in. I think he was drunk or high or something, and they wouldn't let him wrestle.
You think that makes me love him less? Come on.
Yeah, drugs are cool. I don't know where he heard otherwise.
Says the bartender. He said drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Oh, shut up. All right, go, Josh.
All right, my next one is probably my favorite wrestler growing up, and he was in that ladder match that Shannon talked about. It's going to be Edge.
Yep.
Just kind of the era I grew up in. He was called the Hardcore Superstar. He dated Lita, who was my favorite diva at the time. And he was kind of also in the era where it was like absurd. He like was the only person I could ever think of that had sex on stage in the middle of the ring in a bed. So that was like weird and awkward. But that never really tarnished his reputation because he was called the Hardcore Superstar. Ew. He flourished in ECW, flourished in WWE. Oh, and if it weren't for a neck injury, he would have had a lot longer career. I was happy to see him back.
Did he have like a really strange face? Am I thinking of that guy? Like he had, like, it was.
Does he have an OnlyFans account?
I'm not sure.
Having sex in the ring.
But yeah, no. That was just like where they were at. That's one of the storylines that stick out to me. They were like, put a bed up there with like.
It was weird.
It was weird.
Who did he have sex with?
I hope his girlfriend. Lita.
Him and Lita, yeah. One of the divas.
Oh, that. Okay. Is the Edge Adam Copeland? Is that the same person?
Adam Copeland is Edge.
Okay. Nice.
Oh, is he on your list, Gio?
No, but he is now.
And wasn't he part of the what do they call him, the Brood with Gangrel?
Yeah, when he first came up.
So did his neck injury stop it? He no longer wrestles then?
No, he just came back, didn't he?
He was gone for about 7 to 9 years, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, I think the way like science progressed, he was able to get some kind of surgery or it wasn't as likely he'd get hurt, but he definitely didn't do the stuff he used to do. He speared someone off the top of a 20-foot ladder and he definitely stopped doing stuff like that. So
probably a wise decision. But he does wrestle still.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he does today, but he did within like the last year.
Yeah, he's retiring this year, but he has wrestled the last couple of years. And when he returned for the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago. He was the first entrant. And the pop, which is like the crowd's reaction, was absolutely bonkers. And he ended up winning the whole thing. It was awesome.
Was it a surprise that he came back? Like, was it a surprise that he... Yep. Oh, that's kind of
cute. Because even like the dirt sheets, like the people that like kind of know things, like didn't really know.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
although it was a good surprise. Someone wrestling with a bad neck, I'm not really sure I'm on board.
You could even see on his face, he was taken aback by the crowd reaction he got.
Oh, okay. Now I'm a little misty. Kevin.
All right. So the next wrestler. So
in your performance.
Are we in round three now?
Yeah, you are.
All right. Performance has got to be Hulk Hogan.
Ugh.
He.
Sorry. That wasn't supposed to be out loud.
He has I think he's got a very... I remember his finishing move was very lame. I think it was like he dropped his leg on someone's neck.
Guillotine leg drop.
Yeah. So that was lame. But he could give a hell of an interview. And he was exciting. And he'd come out, rip his shirt off. Crowd goes crazy. Isn't he like the main... Like, isn't he one of the reasons... Like, didn't he slam Andre the Giant?
Yeah, WrestleMania 2, I think.
See? So
it was 2 or 3.
That was in the documentary. I remember that. So, you know, it's got to be Hulk Hogan. He's one of the greatest performers of all time in the WWF, WWE.
Yeah, and I think when he did slam Andre, he just had some kind of a back surgery too. Yeah. So that made it even more impressive.
Absolutely.
Who had back surgery, Andre or Hulk Hogan?
I think it was Hogan.
Hogan.
Yeah. And then, you know, the guy that just died, Iron Sheik. Yeah. If it wasn't for Iron Sheik, there wouldn't be no Hulkamania because he's the one that put over Hogan.
Hogan was absolutely incredible. Was my favorite wrestler when I was a kid for sure. He had an incredible heel turn as Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Just awesome stuff. He is racist though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they took him out of the Hall of Fame.
Way to go, Kevin.
He's out of the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they took him out for that, yeah.
You know what? I'm sort of over this cancel culture shit now. I got to tell you with this.
That's because you're not
black. He was a wrestler.
Oh, so wrestlers can be racist?
Pretty sure they can. Pretty sure it's the thing.
I'm pretty sure it's okay. Pretty sure. That is a Canadian speaking, my friends.
Well, that exactly, right?
That is Canadian speaking.
Yeah, y'all could have told me I wasn't allowed to pick him if you wanted.
No, he was on my list. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
Okay. Jamie.
All right, so this guy right here, this is going to win me the draft only for one reason.
Is he hot?
You might think so, but...
I feel that was judging my taste right there.
but it's the hardcore Mick Foley, because he had... like the
three faces.
He was like, dude love.
I think, yeah. Foley, I think Mick Foley's hot. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Oh my God. If I can mute you, if I knew how to do that, I would.
But yeah, like he was dude love, Cactus Jack, Mankind, and then I also wrestled as Mick Foley, but one of the most hardcore wrestlers, not the most athletic guy, but he was known for like his pain tolerance and just hardcore matches. And, what makes him so great is he was actually in a Royal Rumble as all three of his personas.
Yeah, I was going to mention
that. Was hilarious.
Oh, in the same Royal Rumble?
In the same Royal Rumble. Yep. He came out as Dude Love, then he got eliminated, then he came out as Cactus Jack, eliminated then Mick Foley. And
I will not surrender.
And then he should have came out as Mr. Socko too, just dressed up in a big sock. That would have been funny.
Never surrender, never defeat. I can't believe
it. So,
yeah.
Mick Foley hot.
A bit more history about Mick. There was like the Monday Night War, so it was like WCW, WWF at the time. The night that Mick Foley won the championship, the viewership flopped completely over WWF. Like a bunch of people switched back over. And from that night on, WWF won the ratings war.
Wow.
Wait,
did not know that.
Because he was on WWF?
Yep.
Because he was on WWF, but he won the championship. And it was like a guy that looks like this winning the championship was like such a big deal.
Okay.
And it was unexpected. And so once more people got eyes on that product, they were like, yeah, I think I'll stick with this one.
Huh.
He also became a big fan favorite when The Undertaker threw him 20 feet off of the cell through
crazy.
A table. And then later in the match, threw him through it again into the ring. Mm-hmm. So the dude can literally take about any beating and keep going.
Yeah.
And he pulled out the tacks and got like choke slammed on it too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So that dude is crazy.
Even the matches that weren't in WWE against what was his name? What was his friend? He was a partner of him.
Oh, Terry Funk.
Yeah, Terry Funk. Oh, like there were some huge bloody matches where like barbed wire around the ring. Mm-hmm. Like instead of the ropes, they had barbed wire.
Yeah. The Texas Texas death match.
Yep.
Shannon, I got nothing.
So what's funny about him getting thrown off the cage was that happened before they even rang the bell. So the match hadn't even started yet.
Oh, that's right.
And he got thrown off the top, whatever. And his buddy Terry tried to talk him out of it. He was like, don't do this. You're going to die. Yeah. And he like said that the Taker wouldn't agree to do it until about 2 hours before the match. He was like, I need you to throw me off this. I need you to throw me off this. And he agreed so late. He was like, okay, I guess.
Oh my God. Is he like that Samuel L. Jackson Bruce Willis movie? Like, no matter what he does, he couldn't get hurt. You know what I'm talking
about? Kind of not really.
Oh, okay.
Unbreakable.
Yes. Right? Like,
yeah.
He
broke.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, he's actually semi crippled right now.
Oh.
Well, I wonder why.
His daughter is an absolute smoke show as well.
let's look her up.
What's
so? I don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay, I'll just Mick Foley's daughter.
Yeah, there you go. You got it.
Look at that.
So, my next pick is going to be. It's going to be another match, and it's going to involve my two favorite wrestlers of all time, and it's WrestleMania 17. It's The Rock versus Stone Cold. But I'm going to drill down a little deeper here, and it's going to be the promo leading up to it. It won't even be the match. It'll be the vignette that led up to the match, which features Limp Bizkit's My Way. I'm going to post the link to a video of it in the chat.
Okay.
Because it's 3 minutes worth of your time. It just gives you all the feels that you need. It's truly one of the best vignettes that they ever created in WWE.
Limp Bizkit?
Yeah.
No one ever said that about Limp Bizkit ever. Ever.
Everybody yelling at me for Hulk Hogan being a racist, and Limp Bizkit caused a riot at
hold Woodstock. On. I don't know that they caused that.
They didn't help it.
Wait,
nobody there helped it.
What are we talking about now?
Woodstock 99. So during Limp Bizkit's set, they played Break Stuff, which is an incredible song. Gets sang at least once a week in my house. Because anytime you say it's just one of those days,
yep,
it just leads into it. It's automatic.
You can't not do it.
They were selling water bottles that were too expensive. People were standing on concrete or mud. It was all just a bad time there. And then that just,
mud
ramped up.
The mud was also shit.
Yeah. So,
and they were standing on other people.
Yeah. It's not really Fred Durst's fault. Okay, so that's my pick.
I want to put that link in the chat because I'm going to watch that later.
Yeah, I'll do it. So then my next pick will be another in line with my gimmick here, because this is a gimmick. Mr. Perfect. Kurt Hennig. So this guy was known as being an athlete. He could do absolutely everything. There's vignettes of him diving off of diving boards, hitting 7 3-pointers in a row, smacking a baseball across the field, throwing a football and catching it himself in the end zone from one end to the other. Mr. Perfect. Pool, like darts. It didn't matter. He was great. He was a bad guy, and he would come walking out, and he had a towel on his shoulder, and then he had a manager behind him, and he just did this really sick thing, much like Razor Ramon, where Razor Ramon would like throw his toothpick that he had in his mouth. Kurt would toss his towel right over his shoulder and his manager would grab it. And it was just fucking dope. He has one of the best finishers of all time. He's another guy like Razor, another one of my picks, who never won the actual like whole championship.
He did win the Intercontinental.
Yeah, for sure. But he never won the WWF championship. But Mr. Perfect, perfect.
Yeah. What was his finisher? The perfect flex?
Yes.
Where he would hook a leg, backflip him, and
he would
and then pin.
Put him up, pumping over and into a pin. It was perfect.
Yep. It was perfect.
I'm pretty sure, didn't he beat Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels for the Intercontinental? Well, one of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
Jamie?
He sounds lovely. Yeah.
He was perfect.
He sounds perfect.
I'm going to go with another Canadian, Chris Jericho.
And also a very good looking man.
I love Chris Jericho. Like his entrance music, Break the Walls Down, when that dropped, it was just awesome. And I'm pretty sure he recorded that song because he was also a heavy metal type musician. I think his, what was it called? Fozzy.
Mm-hmm.
Fozzy was his band. And
oh my God, I get it. Break the walls down, the walls of Jericho. Got it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep. And like that, this was right around, it was like Y2K, like right around when the year 2000.
He had the badass countdown, yes, too. So yep. It was like suspense of when it got to him.
Yeah. But,
I'm sorry, what now?
It was a countdown like on the screen. And then when it hit the zero, then it would just like break the walls down.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It was like just getting going.
Like I'm pretty sure it'd go like all black, start counting down to where all you could see was that, and then it'd like light up once it hit zero and stuff.
Okay.
Yep.
It was a perfect storm. He was the first undisputed champion of all time. It sucks because he beat Stone Cold and maybe Kurt Angle to do that, but it made him.
I think that like having Break the Walls Down with your name Jericho should have made him. That's just awesome.
Yep. And then his finisher was the Walls of Jericho.
synergy. The Walls of Jericho.
And even his song, even his song Now, which is from his
banger,
from his band Fozzy, people just go nuts for it. They sing along, which anytime you get crowd participation,
yeah, you're there.
It's great. Yeah.
Is he still a wrestler?
Yeah.
Yep.
And he still performs in a heavy metal band?
Yeah, pretty sure he still does tours.
It's more
with AEW last I saw.
Yeah, it's more glam rock.
Oh. Oh. Yeah,
too much.
So heavy. Like Poison?
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah. I can get behind that.
And the name of the band is Fozzy? Like Fozzy Bear?
Fozzy, yeah.
In fact.
In fact, I'm going to write that down. Kevin?
I am sticking with my theme.
Okay.
I'm going with the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
No one's picked him yet?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Okay.
I watched a bunch of his interviews today. I don't think he knew that he was like that people were probably making fun of him. I think his interviews, he was like, honestly, I think in his heart, he was like, this is the best interview that anybody's ever going to see. And they were just absolutely, in my opinion, hilarious because of the way he used to talk. He'd be always talking to that one guy, what's his name? Gene Okerlund,
mean
right?
Gene.
Yeah, yeah, Mean Gene. And he'd always, and his voice, I love it. And I watched some of his matches. I think he jumped off the top rope and flies, right? He's one of those.
So the elbow.
Love it. With the elbow. Yep. Dude. Yep. Oh, see.
Isn't he like the beef jerky guy?
Yes, he is. He'll always be known as the beef jerky guy.
The cream always rises to the top.
Everybody likes to do his voice.
It's maybe the only impersonation I can actually do.
Yeah, I think in real life, though, he was kind of a dick.
That seems the theme for me today. That's what I'm picking.
Yeah. remember the whole, what was it, Miss Elizabeth? He was actually married to her and didn't treat her right. I was always jealous. And like, I watched a documentary on it, and he would like just not let her go out with the girls and make her like stay at home all the time.
Was she smoking hot?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
So that's a unanimous yes. So he was like out of his league.
I don't know. I mean, he was fun. Yes. He was notorious for planning out his matches to the like nth degree. Like
he was very, very specific.
Mm-hmm. Like some guys can like kind of do off the cuff and they'll like adjust depending on how the crowd is feeling. However, he was like, this is our match. This is what we're doing.
What did he say, Shannon?
He always said the cream rises to the top. Like, he didn't plan his promos, but he planned his matches, which is hilarious. Like, he had no idea what he was going to say, but he knew how he was going to wrestle.
Well, I always remember that famous handshake with Hogan where they just, like, going slow. Like.
The mega power.
Yeah.
So to recap, I have a racist and a domestic abuser. This
is exactly. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. You're on a roll there, Kev. You're on a roll.
But Ric Flair was one of those kids where that doctor like basically had his semen went to all like 400 women or something like that. Like he was the doctor that like he just gave women his seed the entire time. So Ric Flair was actually one of those kids.
Oh, okay.
So you did okay. Do you guys know that story? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I do. I know that story.
So there's like
I don't think it went back that far. Ric Flair's like super old, right?
There was a doctor a long time ago who like basically, you know, essentially spread his seed among so many ladies or whatever. And Ric Flair was one of those kids.
Okay. Are you talking about like a fertility doctor? So these are supposed to be other people's seeds and he's like giving them his?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, that's not very nice.
Also, Kevin, sticking to your theme, there actually is a documentary on Vice about this plane ride where everyone had like unlimited drinks and drugs, and Ric Flair actually exposed himself to one of the flight attendants against her will. So, I mean, you're 3 for 3. There is a whole documentary.
I gotta do
about
a background check on Dusty Rhodes. Right now.
I think he's fine.
Dusty Rhodes arrested. Let's see what happens.
Kev, at least you're consistent, babe. Gosh.
Are these my last two, or I have two more after these?
You're only in the fourth round. Yep. This is the fourth and fifth. You got two more.
Okay, but are these my last two?
Nope. This is only
okay,
fourth.
Okay, so I'm gonna go then, because I was a big fan of D-Generation X, and mostly because of Shawn Michaels. I learned to like Triple H as I got older and got more into the heels, more so than when I was younger, more emotionally invested. You know, I like, which I mean, Shawn Michaels was a heel too, but the Sweet Chin Music is just one of my favorite finishers. I don't know how they get it to sound so good, or if he actually just kicks the shit out of people's faces, but it sounds good, it looks good. And he ended Ric Flair's career with Sweet Chin Music.
Huh? Shawn Michaels.
Savage.
Yeah, he had this really dramatic moment where he's like crying, whispers "I love you," and then just kicks the shit out of him. Because if he won the match, Ric Flair had to retire.
Do you want the spoiler on how they make the noise?
Yeah,
because it'll ruin it for
you. Of course we do.
No, I don't.
I
want to think he's kicking.
Okay, I won't say it then.
Oh man,
it's probably something they put on the shoe or on their face or something. Okay, I want
to. I want to know now. Come on, man.
I want to know. Yeah.
They slap their thigh really hard. So when he kicks, when he's kicking, he's slapping his own thigh, and it sounds amazing and it looks incredible.
It's like when I try and cough to cover up a fart.
Exactly the same thing. It's or exactly the cough.
It's very much like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Shawn Michaels, he was actually part of one of my favorite tag teams growing up in the 80s, the Rockers with Marty Jannetty. And then
is this when he was blonde?
Yeah. And then he ended up like breaking up with them by kicking them through the barbershop window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't I have Shawn Michaels on my list?
I don't know, because he's a sexy boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his whole thing. Yeah. Being a sexy boy.
Why don't I have him on?
I'm just your boy toy.
I think. Oh, okay. That's why. Never mind.
Like he would come out with all these chains.
His entrance
is
incredible. Like, he gets in the middle of the ring, he spins in a circle, he flexes, and then just pyro firing off behind him. It looks incredible.
Is he the one that, like, gets down, like, kind of on one knee and does that? Oh.
Yep. Yeah.
He's on my list. I think he's on my list as just a pitcher.
Didn't think he was your type since you're into the Mick Foley.
Yeah, Mick Foley.
Yeah.
You and I are gonna have
got all his teeth.
Serious conversation later. Serious conversation. All right, Josh, you're going into the 1, 2, 3, 4 first pick, fifth round. Who do you got?
Okay, so this isn't a match, but more of a segment. And this is one of, I think, the most absurd thing that I've seen. So for a little backstory, Gene Snitsky was just this very small part-time guy. Kane was one of my favorite wrestlers. Kane had a baby with Lita, who also had sex with Edge. So Gene Snitsky steals their baby, and in the middle of the ring in front of him, he kicks a little baby doll into the stands like he kicked their baby. And that was the funniest thing I had ever seen in my life. And that, just the absurdity of that, kicking a little baby doll into the stands and someone like picking it up and like holding it up, like... It was awesome. And it was like a whole storyline. Kane got mad. Lita cried. It was great.
So
wrestling fucks. Wrestling really does fuck.
Yeah.
Gene Snitsky.
And then his whole thing
baby.
Was like, it's not Gene my fault.
Exactly.
That's all
what
Gene
I wrote
Snitsky
down.
Said.
Gene
yep.
kicks baby.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. He punts baby into stands.
He punts baby. See, now I don't feel bad when I say someone makes me feel like punching a baby. But it could have been like...
Oh, he actually did.
Yeah, exactly. Someone else already did it before me.
Was the guy who stole the baby a wrestler?
Yeah. I think he was only around for like 6 months or so. Just for that storyline, I didn't see much of him. He was like a big guy, just as big as Kane, who was almost 7 foot. So he was a wrestler at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect sense. Kev. Wait. Yeah, Kev.
With my fifth pick.
Your fifth pick.
I'll be choosing some sort of criminal, I'm sure.
You want to pick Kane? I got dirt on him too. You
know, I am going with this guy had his own talk show during wrestling.
Did you just say talk show or cock show?
Talk show.
Talk.
Okay, thank you. It sounded like cock on my end.
Good. Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Ah, damn. I had him on mine.
Rowdy.
Yeah, it's
so
called Piper's Pit.
They say that he's probably the one wrestler that never won the championship, but should have at some point, supposedly. I think that's a thing. And then another Canadian, he's from Saskatchewan, even though he wears a kilt and stuff like that. So why don't you guys tell me what he did? Because you guys know better than I do. I know that
it was one of the early WrestleManias. He fought Mr. T in a boxing match.
Oh, see?
That makes him really cool there. And he actually got disqualified because he body slammed him. But he was a real amateur boxer too, not only just
a
wrestler.
Like a bit of a he looks like a bit of a son of a bitch.
Oh, and he killed aliens in that one movie where he put on the glasses.
Which one
was that?
They Live.
They Live. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. He comes in. There's a scene where he's like he has on sunglasses that he can see the aliens, and he's
and the subliminal messages.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
Oh my god, I know that. I know that quote. Where's it from?
I think it's called They or something like that. We all have space phones.
No, it was like that's like one of the greatest quotes ever. I'm here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
So a cool story about him is he once got stabbed by some like a wrestling fan, maybe not a fan of him, but he once got stabbed by a fan. And so he always wore a leather jacket and he kept a little pistol in there after that happened.
Oh, good for him. See, he's a badass.
If I get stabbed, I'm doing the same.
I know, right? Not many people get stabbed. I love it.
Okay. At least, all right. Jamie.
Okay. So I was going to go with the wrestler, but there was a match she was in that I want to bring up. So it's going to be Trish Stratus versus Stacy Keibler in the bra and panties match.
You fucking pervert.
So
it was only a matter of time.
Can we have a link, please?
And you can post a link to her Playboy centerfold also because she wasn't Playboy.
Wait, Stacy Keibler was a wrestler?
Stacy Keibler was a wrestler. Trish Stratus was the one that was in Playboy. And she was the centerfold.
I think Tori Wilson was in Playboy too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So the match, what they had to do is they had to tear each other's clothes off, and whoever ended up in their bra and panties first loses. So Trish Stratus ended up winning.
Stacy Keibler is an absolute smoke show. Unbelievably. She's my absolute favorite looking wrestling lady.
This was peak misogynistic era of WWE.
Yeah, like the
attitude. We were all here for it at the time, but it was very misogynistic at the time.
It was wild stuff.
So it was like strip poker, but with a wrestling match?
Yep, they had the Terry Joe's clothes off, and whoever ended up in their bra panties.
That was the point of the match. You didn't have to do a single move the whole match.
Yeah. But they did.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, what year is this?
This had to have been early 2000.
Really?
Yeah, it was with the Attitude Era.
Really? Bra and panties match in 2000. Stacy Keibler. And who won?
Trish Stratus.
So that means she cut Stacy Keibler down to her bra and panties.
Yeah, I believe she was wearing pink undies, if I remember correctly.
Wow. Nice.
Jamie's like, she pinned her after 12 minutes and 46 seconds.
Yeah.
I was done way before that, but that's when the match finished.
Wow. Okay. All right, gentlemen. I was waiting for like a female wrestler. I thought I would get like more substance of a female wrestler, but Jamie.
Nope.
Thank you, Jamie.
Well, Trish Stratus was like one of the first female actual athletes that like paved the way for the females that are here now.
She's back wrestling now, in fact.
Yeah, she just came back. Yep. And she still
Lita had really good matches.
Great for being like, what is she, 55? 50, 55?
She's wrestling at 55?
Oh, I don't know how old she is, but she looks really good for being that old.
Oh my god. I don't know what age she is, but she looks smoking hot.
Yep.
She's 47.
47, but still.
But still.
If I look that good at 47, I'll be doing okay.
Terry has a vivid memory. I'm hoping it's not at the bra and panties match. But
it is.
Everyone needs to go watch that when we're done.
Well, I think Terry's already seen it. Hey, Terry. Terry was out drinking with her teacher friends once again. I'm starting to worry about her, but it's okay. It's all right. Yeah.
It's summertime. They're out.
It's summertime. They're out. Yeah, they're out of school. Huh.
That's a thing. This bra and panty match is a thing.
Oh my god.
You thought he was lying the whole time?
Oh, just
I thought he was just fucking with us.
No, we were the ones getting fucked with. Two ladies in there ripping each other's clothes off.
What a wonderful country. Right, Shannon.
How many picks do I have left?
You have 3 picks left.
I think that's perfect.
Okay.
I think that's perfect. So I was actually going to pick a lady wrestler. This one's really recent. Not that those two weren't lady wrestlers, but I'm not going to pick a match like that.
Right. Yeah, weirdo. Jamie.
I wanted to pick somebody kind of recent, and I thought of all the people recently. I'll pick Rhea Ripley. She is from Down Under, which is my favorite accent in the entire world. She is huge. She's got tattoos, great hair. She's got a great gimmick.
Great hair.
Yeah, and she's just an incredible wrestler. She looks great. She is great. She's 27. She just won the championship. I think she got in at like 23, 24, whatever, and just, I mean, all the way to the moon with her. So, yeah. And she's a heel right now, which I love. So I'm staying on brand.
Yeah, that's your thing.
Did she beat Bianca Belair? Because I know she had the title for a while, because she's pretty impressive too. I almost put her on there.
So, yes. And she was a close second, because I'm from the same state as Bianca. Yeah. She beat Charlotte Flair, in fact. But she did win the Rumble this year. So Bianca wasn't in the Rumble, but she did win the Rumble this year, which is pretty big. And then she won the championship.
Okay.
So
next to last pick.
I'm going to pick this just in case, because I don't think anyone's going to pick my last pick. I'm going to pick the finish of Rollins, Seth freaking Rollins versus Randy Orton. This is at a WrestleMania. I'm going to post this link in there in the chat as well. The finish is absolutely gobsmacking. It's just incredible stuff. Randy Orton, if you've seen the memes, is the out of nowhere. And like, basically it's a RKO. It's a move where he grabs his opponent's head over his shoulder and they both kind of lay out. Best and he ever. Just hits it. He hits it in all kinds of different spots. Guys will like be jumping off the top rope and he'll like, grab the midair and then hit it. So in this spot, I'll describe it just in case the link doesn't work here. But in this spot, Seth Rollins has a move called the curb stomp, where he genuinely runs from the corner of the ring and stomps someone's head into the mat. It looks awesome. It's pretty sick. He goes to do that to Randy to finish the match. So he goes to stomp his head into the mat. But as he does, Randy lifts up, and Seth is now in the air, and Randy grabs him out of the air and hits the RKO, and just the crowd explodes. I mean, it's pandemonium in there. In case you don't know the definition of pandemonium, it's like demons being released and just going fucking nuts is the definition of pandemonium. And that's what it was like. I mean, he hits that and everybody's just taking their pants off, shirts are flying everywhere. It was a bra and panties crowd because people can't believe what they just saw. So I'm picking that as my match finish, I guess.
Match.
All right. No, that was really good. Seth Rollins is so athletic. I guess setting up for this, he got so much air. It just looked so cool. Like he hung in the air while Randy Orton just like looked up at him and RKO'd him. It was really cool.
Seth Rollins, the finish.
All right. I almost put Seth Rollins on my list, and I still might, but
you can. I just put a spot.
Jamie.
All right. So I got what, 2 more left?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to save this one guy because I think
both of you are saving guys if someone's going to pick. You know that, right? Like right before your pick. Right before
you're
going
to be so pissed when I pick them.
I'm going to go with another character that had 2 personas. And that's Owen Hart, Bret Hart's brother. He was also the Blue Blazer, most underrated wrestler. Unfortunately, he died too early. He fell from the rafters into the ring. And I still remember watching this live, and they cut out the screen.
Oh, my God. It wasn't like, was he supposed to die from the rafters in the ring?
No. Well, his gimmick was he was supposed to be lowered down and into the ring.
Okay.
But there, like a zip yeah, but it was, there was like a malfunction that shouldn't have happened.
Oh,
and he just fell straight down from the roof.
Live?
Live. So what kind of pisses me off is like they just got him out of the ring and then continued the pay-per-view. Like,
but did they know how bad he was hurt?
He was dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because JR, the main announcer, he was sitting there live on air trying to stall and just talking about it. And he's like, sit there and talk about how he did that. And then he just talks like, well, yeah, they just basically announces that he died right there. And they just keep going on like nothing happened.
God. What the fuck?
Yeah, it was.
That's ridiculous.
It was the first of many blunders by WWE regarding deaths.
Oh, my God. That's sad and ridiculous.
Yeah, well, yeah. One of my favorite matches was when he was with going against Bret Hart. It was, I think, WrestleMania 9 or 10. And Bret Hart, they were the opening match, and he actually beat Bret Hart, which was awesome.
His brother?
Yeah, he beat his brother. His brother went on the same night to win the championship, too.
Huh. Was his brother at the match when he died?
I'm sure he was there. He probably wrestled, but I don't think he was out there when it happened.
I think
it was a match with the Godfather, I think.
Yeah, this was a time when I think Bret was mad at the WWE.
Oh, okay.
And he was in WCW, wasn't it?
Okay.
Like, I'm not 100% sure. It sounds right.
Like 99-ish. I don't know.
Okay. Sports update. The Oklahoma Sooners have won the Women's College World Series. What a surprise.
Boomer Sooner.
What? I don't know. 53rd game. They have won 53 games in a row, which is just incredible.
We'll let them have that.
We'll let them have it. All right, Kevin.
All right. I am going with someone that just during their time, I think, was quite over the top. And it was very controversial. So I'm going controversy again. And I know this guy got popped for drugs, so he's staying in my crew. So,
drugs.
I'm going with the Iron Sheik.
Oh.
He would come in the ring, waving the Iranian flag, in the '80s.
No.
I think that people would throw shit at him and stuff like that, and he wouldn't care. And the name of his finishing move is probably one of the coolest things I've ever heard: mm-hmm. The Cobra Clutch.
Yep.
So.
That's one of the coolest things you ever heard.
That is a cool name for a finisher.
Right? Mm-hmm. Was it a cool move?
Well, he would sit on your back, I think, and then like wrap your
pull you.
And pull you and just neck crank you.
I mean, the Iron Sheik took kayfabe to the highest level, yes. Which kayfabe is kind of you keeping up your bit and not dropping character. Mm-hmm. Him and Pat Robertson were the only two that kept kayfabe up till they died. And, like, he would be on Twitter talking about how Hulk Hogan's a jabroni in all caps up until the day he died. Yeah. So it's like,
in fact,
his Twitter, he was a good follow on Twitter. It was hilarious.
Someone said earlier that he sort of started Hulk Hogan's career.
Yeah, he did. He's the one that lost to Hogan. Put him over for the belt.
Okay. He just recently died. I'm taking it.
Yeah, a couple days ago, I think.
How old was he?
Yesterday. He was like in his 80s, 87 maybe.
So he's 87 years old on Twitter calling Hulk Hogan a jabroni? Is that what you're telling me?
It was everything that you think it should be.
It seems on brand.
Exactly it.
Okay.
Like he would have,
because that was his character.
He would have a tweet completely about something completely different. He would be like, you know, going on about something great or, you know, fantastic going on in the world. And he'd be like, and also fuck Hulk Hogan.
So I also I did a lot of research on this. I tried at least, but there was like a show that they have on, I don't know which channel it is, but it's about wrestlers and it's like a half hour and it's about like what those wrestlers did during their life and where they are now kind of thing. And I think they had one on the Iron Sheik, and they said that he and his arch nemesis got caught like in the same car or something like that. And that was like a total against like sort of the unwritten rule. You would never be seen with your arch nemesis and having fun with them or something like that.
I've never seen, especially back then.
Right.
But I have lots of arch nemesis. So,
and I think his arch nemesis name was Sergeant Slaughter.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
He was an American military
and he was like Iranian.
And didn't he have a tag team partner, Nikolai Volkov?
The Russian guy.
The Russian guy.
Hated him too.
Yep.
So it was Iran and Russia against everybody else.
Yep.
Oh, I should have took both of them. I should have took them like together as a tag team.
What's PFL? Is that wrestling? Your guys wrestling too? No.
What is it?
PFL.
No idea.
Okay, they're in a ring. They're wrestling, light heavyweight, and the one guy's kind of high. That's all I know. It came on after the softball game. That's all I got. And it's with the wrestling motif, so I can't. I stay true to brand, sort of. Josh.
So my next two are kind of going to be synonymous. One's a wrestler, one's a match. The wrestler is going to be Eddie Guerrero.
Ooh, I like Eddie Guerrero.
Awesome.
Yeah. Tragically passed away before he was done wrestling. But when he was there, his whole thing was lying, cheating, and stealing.
What is not
And he did
that
every match.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. So, I mean, he was the only one that tried. And just everything he would do, like his promos and everything were just gold. He was a really good wrestler. His feud with Chavo, his brother, were really good. Rey Mysterio was good. And that leads me into my last one.
Please let it be Rey Mysterio.
No, it's not. But it involves Rey Mysterio. So back at No Way Out 2005, Eddie Guerrero was claiming that he was Dominic Mysterio's father. Who's a wrestler now. So they had a match at a pay-per-view for the custody of an actual kid.
Huh? Wrestling.
Rey Mysterio ended up winning out, but it was a custody match. And this is going into my theme is absurdity with matches and, you know, kicking babies. But they had an entire match at a pay-per-view, and it was a good match. They had really good chemistry together, you know, given their, you know, Mexican roots and heritage, and they always worked together. But it was just really good, and it was.
Did they have the
what
kid,
bigger
like,
stakes do you
there?
Have than your kid?
Was the kid yeah. there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
No, he was there in the crowd. It kept showing him like crying, and like the lead up to that, they kept like Eddie Guerrero would go grab him out of the stands and like take him into the back and like take him away. It was a whole thing, and it was fun.
Whose kid was it actually?
It was Rey Mysterio's kid.
Maybe.
Well, there's news rumors out that it might not be, but yeah, it's so Dominic Mysterio who's
that plays today because. Dominic is now wrestling, so Rey Mysterio's son is now wrestling.
Okay.
20 years ago, Rey and Eddie wrestled, and then Dominic and his father now wrestled this year in a match. And the whole lead up to that was like, you know, you were never the father that Eddie could have been to me.
Oh,
wrestling circle, Fox. Yeah. Wrestling Fox.
You know, and Eddie was hilarious too. Like funny, funny guy. Like he would do this thing where he would. Throw a chair into someone's hands and then just like fall on the ground.
Down like
and then it would disqualify the other guy.
And he would
like
come
the
in
and he would just ride low riders.
Yes.
Yeah. And just bounce. Yes. He'd literally like bounce them almost like 45 degrees to the air. And just, it was so cool.
I'm still like, still working through that whole wrestling match for the kid thing, but okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why that bothers me more than kicking the baby, but it kind of does. Just a little bit.
Fuck them
kids. Yeah, exactly. They're durable. They're kids. They bounce back. And your last pick? Did you give me your last pick?
Those were my Eddie Guerrero and then the match.
The match is your last pick?
Yep. Custody match is my last pick.
Okay. Custody match is your last pick. All right, Kev. Last pick, babe.
I'm in a little bit of a quandary here.
Oh, no.
But... I'm between two wrestlers.
Pick the one that has the longest criminal record and you'll be all right.
That's true. I don't know which one does. Damn it.
Damn it.
I'll leave it up to the crew. I'm going to give you two. You guys tell me which one I should take. Hunter Helmsley, Triple H, or Junkyard Dog?
Triple H.
Here we go.
Yeah.
My last pick is Triple H.
Okay.
I think he is in like, he's like the president or something of the WWE now or something.
He's the creative guy, director. Yeah.
Isn't he married to the daughter?
Stephanie. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But I guess that his Hunter, I forget what his full name was, but
Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H.
Was like a huge. He was a great interview, huge heel. Like he was like the worst during the time. and they likened him to like Ric Flair. He was that good of a heel at that time. So that's what I learned about Triple H. So that's who I'm taking.
All right,
yeah, he would always like spit the water out, and it was
great entrance,
huge,
incredible entrance.
Yep,
and he's a good wrestler too.
Oh,
right?
And didn't he kidnap Stephanie, drug her, and then they got married in a drive-thru or something?
That's on brand for my family.
Well, it was all a work, but then they ended up loving, like falling in love, because she was actually with another guy in real life, and then they actually hung out and. Now they're together. And they have like three kids and stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
He did have, so the only negative thing I can tell you about Triple H is that there was a run there for quite a few years where he basically won all the matches and like probably should not have, but he was kind of the favorite guy. And so he won some matches that he probably shouldn't have because he could have helped put some other guys over.
Wait, was he dating the boss's daughter at the time?
Or maybe he won them because he was good.
Or maybe he won them because he was screwing the boss's daughter.
I think it was a little bit of both.
Two things can be true. Two things can be true.
Yeah,
he also reportedly had an affair with China when China was part of DX. And I think either him or her, one of them were with somebody else. But that's
China was with X-Pac, I believe, at the time.
Okay. Who was also
part of DX. Of Generation X.
Wow.
I got two words for you.
Yes.
Suck it.
Sorry, I forget that you like don't know.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I almost wore my D-Generation X T-shirt because I actually wear that to the gym.
And then the WCW war was the best when they like actually went over there in a tank.
Tanks. Yep.
And they invaded WCW.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Jamie.
All right. Well, since Kev didn't pick this one, I'm gonna have to go with something along his theme with Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Oh, he's on my list.
So this guy, he made like the top rope jump famous. Like he was one of the first people to do it. And despite the fact that he was allegedly killed his girlfriend.
Allegedly.
Yeah. But, He ended up
like, Kevin, I see all your answers. I'm going to trump them all.
With murder.
Like, Kevin, hold my beer.
All right, Kevin, there's only one other person you could go to top this.
Honestly. Well, they ended up dropping the charges only because he was in hospice and he ended up dying. So I think he actually dropped the charges after he died, like a year or two after he died.
Oh, my God.
Because I think he died in like 2016 and then charges were dropped in 2018 or something like that.
Oh my God. Yep. Kevin.
But yeah, but he was awesome back in the day. And he's actually part of the Rock's family by marriage. He married one of the Rock's aunts. So he was like
was
the Rock's
after
uncle.
Was he killed his girlfriend?
No.
Allegedly.
Before. This was before back in the day.
Okay. All right. Then never mind. Allegedly.
That's what they said.
It's not allegedly if he's they dropped.
No, that family now has the Usos and Roman Reigns still going. They're related to the Rock.
No, Rock has a huge family. Like Yokozuna was part of it.
Rikishi,
yep. A bunch of them.
Wait, Rock has a huge family because their people are marrying into his?
No,
family?
Like the Rock has one of the biggest wrestling family.
His dad was a wrestler, wasn't he?
His dad was Rocky Johnson, yeah. His. Grandpa was Rocky Maivia.
The great.
And that's,
Peter Maivia. Peter Maivia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Still slightly confused. The Rock's wrestling family, is it actual biological people?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Not Kane and Undertaker brothers, but.
All right. I'm almost scared for this one. Shannon, your last pick.
I know. Who knows what's going to happen here?
Kev, can you talk, really? Seriously.
So, this is tough because I wanted to pick Austin versus Michaels where Tyson was the special guest referee because that's when I really truly, like I loved wrestling before, but that match really cemented my love. That said, I'm going to pick a hot boy. This one's for Gladys. This is on theme for me because he's also a heel.
Oh, can I guess? Is... Doink the Clown.
No.
That, Eugene.
That was a very, very bad guess.
Hornswoggle.
I like wrestling. I don't like whatever you're doing right now.
At least like someone Gladys would think is hot.
Yeah.
So I'm just guessing.
She might. I don't know. She might not. I apologize. The wind's kicking up a little bit here.
It is
my
pick
here. Is Rick Rude. Ravishing
Rick
Rude.
He's on my list too.
No.
He has, like Scott Hall, has one of the great, and Mr. Perfect, one of the best finishers of all time. It looks vicious. He would come out, GL, just so you know, he would come out usually in a robe or something like that. He would peel it off, and he just has this unbelievable physique. And he would have – sometimes he would
like,
have his
eight
fucking
like
face
eight
on his crotch.
My God.
Yes. Yep. And, okay. Like, he had this incredible mustache, and he would kiss at the ladies in the crowd, and he would put his hands behind his head, and he would swivel his hips a little bit, just giving it to him, giving him the business.
And pink tights, no less.
Yes. And like, I mean, and all kinds of things would be on his tights. It would be like, sometimes his fucking face would be like over his crotch. And you're like, what is, I don't get this, but maybe I do. Maybe it's a little Oedipus complex, but like with yourself or something. I'm not sure. Yeah. And again, on theme, I don't think he ever won the championship either. So bad guy, incredible bod, great finisher, never won the championship.
Yeah. I think he won Intercontinental, but that was it.
Yeah.
What was his finisher? You said it was great.
It was the
Rude
Awakening. So yes. unlike the Diamond Cutter RKO where you grab them and they're facing down, he would turn them around and have their head here so they're facing upwards.
And
he would
drop.
Flex, yep. And then just drop where it looks like their neck is breaking. It's incredible. Yeah.
Okay. What? He was somebody's wife on his crotch?
Yeah, I think he might have won Miss Elizabeth, possibly.
Oh,
I remember there being him and a blonde woman kissing right on his crotch. I don't know who the blonde woman was. I just remember that picture.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You remember his crotch.
Hey, you're the one that brought up the blonde panties match. And you said she was
yeah,
wearing
exactly.
pink or
I think we're all
like
watching
that.
Wrestling for the different reasons.
Yeah.
There's a to plug something really quickly that's just funny. There's a podcast out of New York called The Nobodies, and it's a bunch of drag queens that had never watched wrestling until about 5 or 6 years ago, and they now watch wrestling and review things, and they'll review like weaves that like Sasha Banks wore, and then they'll review like outfits that dudes wore, and they're like, and they kind of make it an observation, they're like, why is it that all the dudes outfits, like it's either pointing to their b-hole or it's pointing to their dick, like it's like arrows and like here's my balls. Or here's where you stick it in the back. Like kind of all the outfits look like that.
And I'm gonna be watching enough. This podcast. I will be watching this podcast. The Nobodies.
The Nobodies NYC.
NYC.
So just imagine drag queens watching wrestling, and that's a good Venn diagram.
In my head, I am, and it's awesome right now. The whole conversation's going on. Jamie, what podcast were you talking about? You were talking about a podcast.
Yeah, you talk about the Inside the Ring with Joe Piscopia. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. He does his wrestling podcast. Like, he's a huge wrestling fan. Joe Piscopia. He's the Fantasy Pros host.
Piscopia. I'm phonetically spelling it. So.
Also, if you can watch, Vice has a bunch of documentaries about Dark Side of the Ring. It has like a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I'm not gonna watch.
That's on Hulu, I think, too.
It's on that or HBO Max or something.
Documentaries.
Like that.
I watched documentary on Glee and it made me very sad. I refuse to watch any more documentaries. So, not good.
Most of them are sad.
Yeah. So, not doing it. I'm not doing it.
I just found it. It said that Rick Rude came to the ring with a likeness of Jake the Snake Roberts' wife on his crotch.
That's what you've been doing this whole time, Kev.
I had to find it.
Priorities.
As Stone Cold said to Jake after he beat him in King of the Ring, take your John 3:16, all your Bible verses, Get the hell out of my ring. Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass.
All right. With that, this is how we're going to end it. And by end it, I mean, oh, hi, Jay. Jay knows wrestling. Jay knew he knew sword somebody's wife. Jay's our Facebook user. For the closing, you have to tell me the best wrestling line that you've heard in your life.
Well, I have no.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, let's go backwards for this.
All right, fine. Jamie. And Jamie, make it clean.
Putting me on blast here. I don't. The greatest wrestling line.
Yeah. Like,
it's more. Like, it's more of a gesture.
Okay. And
can I do it?
Sure. Why not?
Ready?
How is that the greatest wrestling gesture you've seen in your life?
Stone Cold Steve Austin. He just kicks your ass and then flicks you off. Walks away.
Jamie. I'm adding that to the Mick Foley stash, and it's not looking good for you, buddy. Not looking good for you. Kevin.
I'm going to just go with the only one I know.
Okay.
Do you smell what the Rock is cooking?
Nice. That is a nice one. That is a good one because it sticks with you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not. Josh, you ready or do you want Shannon to go?
Yeah, no, I got two, actually.
All right, let's
go ahead, Josh.
So one is actually Stone Cold Steve Austin talking to Mike Tyson. He says, I'll knock that gold tooth out of your mouth and make it into a necklace. So I thought that one was good. And then CM Punk, who I almost put on my list, he was one of my favorites. He sits down for an unscripted promo, and he says, in anyone else's hands, this is just a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb. And he started dropping bombs about WWE and Vince McMahon, and they cut his mic.
Mid-promo. Oh, nice. That's awesome.
All it's right. Hailing, and my car is outside. I got to jump.
Bye, Kevin. Thank you. Do you have the hood up? Hopefully. Kevin has a convertible. Be very bad if he doesn't. Shannon.
I mean, I've been quoting mine all night.
You have lightning behind you. That's awesome.
I really wanted to think of something that Maxwell Jacob Friedman has said. He's not part of the WWE universe yet. Maybe one day. He is currently the greatest wrestler on the planet. There's a few that are close that aren't in the WWE, but MJF is actually the
best. You can find him on TikTok.
That said, one of the greatest promos went to something like this. Now, here's the thing about what just happened. I wasn't saying anything.
Exactly.
Jake the Snake Roberts did a promo where he just did that. He just mouthed the words.
That would be
and
awesome.
He had people turning their TVs up. And he said, I didn't even say anything, but I have your attention.
That's
and you
awesome.
Want to hear every word coming out of my mouth.
Okay, that.
Yeah, we do.
That. Oh, awesome. All right, gentlemen, you did a splendid job. Because I was judging on hotness, and what else would I be judging on, Jamie? Because I was judging on hotness.
Well, I win because I had the Trish Stratus match.
Who said that? No. I'm afraid that Shannon won, and he may have won just on one wrestler alone. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, it was fun.
Nailed it.
Mic drop. And on that, we're out. You guys, thank you so much. Josh, you want to tell people where they can find you and what you are doing?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Rotonaut, right below my ugly mug. You see me on there shitting on Mets fans, talking up the Braves, talking about dynasty football. And yeah, you can find all my rankings and articles at goingfor2.com.
Okay. Shitting on Mets fans. And Jamie.
Twitter, Jamie Perogue. Also here at Going for Two. I'm usually in the chats every single episode you guys throw down. I love the Saturday night show. Never miss it.
Oh, yeah, I have a Saturday night show. Yeah. Yes. That me and Brian co-host.
And you can find me on the Tuesday Cheat Sheet with Mike and Jordan. And pretty much Going for Two.
Shannon.
You can find me at Americana underscore Allen on Instagram. That's where I actually post anything and everything. I don't shit on Mets fans. I pretty much don't shit on anybody. I try to keep it positive. It's pretty much dogs, cocktails.
Wait, what do you know about your Instagram? Shannon?
I don't know why you don't know about my Instagram.
Because you never told me. You only told me about your Twitter.
Well, you asked for my Twitter, but that's, I just look at stuff there. I don't really post anything on that. Except for about CBS Survivors. That's the only thing I talk about on Twitter, I think, and wrestling.
Oh, I've been watching a lot of Vanderpump Rules lately. So
I've watched since season two. So I can go, if we talked about Vanderpump Rules, I can draft that too. Don't worry.
You guys, Shannon has 5,926. Oh, you're following. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I was like, if only.
All right, well, you have one more because I'm following you now. And by the looks of these pictures, you should follow him too.
Yeah, I'm about to.
All right, on Instagram. And, all right, so Vanderpump Rules. Did you just say that, Josh?
My wife has been watching it, and I got sucked into it.
Hey, the first few seasons are incredible. There's some lag, but this season with the Scandoval of it all.
That's why we've been binging it, honestly.
Yeah, but the first few seasons are actually really good TV as well.
All right. So, you guys, you can find me 2 weeks from now. Here, we will be here. We were Ryan from the Armchair Fantasy Show. It's his show. We will be mocking, what did I say? Westerns and crime? Well, Western and crime movies, because in my head, they're both the same. So, Western and crime movies, we will be doing the mock on. It is the same. They're almost the same. And then Monday, 2-point conversion with Jay. We will probably be talking about how the Nuggets have won the NBA Finals, because it should be over by then, by the time we go on. Because next week is Kyle, and next Thursday is Dynasty Gambit. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Next Thursday, Dynasty Gambit. Then it will be Jay and I talking about how the Nuggets smashed Jimmy Butler in the Heat. And I don't really follow basketball, as you can tell. And I don't really follow baseball, so I have nothing to say about the Braves, except that your earrings are fabulous, and I love them, Josh. Sure, no problem. And then Thursday after that, anyone that wants to jump on and mock crime and Westerns with us, you're more than welcome. I already have Doc. He won't be able to join us, but his number one 101 pick is 7, so that's out of the ball game. If you're joining, you can't pick 7. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Jesse Patterson. Miss your face. And we will talk to you guys later. Jamie, you and I are going to have serious talk.
We do. Especially with your beeping. You still haven't changed your smoke detector battery.
Okay.
I've been hearing it all show.
Can you see my, ceiling?
Yep.
There's these things they're
called ladders.
We just talked about a bunch of matches.
So you want me to go and buy like a 20-foot ladder to change one smoke detector?
Or just get a broom and knock it down and stop it from beeping.
Okay, first of all, it's very cute that you think I have a broom and that I clean. That's adorable. And then second of all, that you think that would happen even if I did have a broom and clean. But it will be there. Supposedly they're supposed to come Monday, but who knows? We'll see. We'll see what happens. I can't hear it. It doesn't bother me, and that's all that matters. Jamie. Bye, guys.
Have a nice day.
See ya.
Shannon, get in from the lightning strike right now.
Before you I'm going.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.